The Word of God is alive. Praise God. We are in a glorious time of life.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because we're getting ready to go home. Amen. We are so close, ready to go home. Let me tell you something. If you're not hungry and thirsty, you don't make it. Does everybody get this? If you're not hungry and thirsty for the presence of God, you don't get it. The Word says specifically, only those who are thirsty and hungry will be filled. You don't sow, you don't get nothing. Then you stay religious and dumb. No fire, no power, no anointing. Nothing. Knowledge. Then people get puffed up with knowledge. Oh, I know this. But they don't know Him. Because you don't know Him without His presence. I'm going to say that again. You won't know Him without His presence. You know, one of the things about the Word of God, it talks about signs, seasons, times. And we're to know signs. The first thing we've got to know is our own sign. Now, I'm not talking some demonic, cosmic sign and all this other stuff. I'm talking about fruits. Fruits are signs. I'm going to say that again. Fruits are signs. If you're not hungry and thirsty, that's a sign you ain't in. Has everybody got it? Here's another fruit. You blaming everybody else for how you feel? You're way out. You're barely even in the outer court. You're hanging on by a thread. Why? Because you're still living by how you feel. Oh, such and such said this. Oh, such and such. Oh, you wouldn't believe the letter I got. Oh, shut up and die to yourself. How ridiculous. That means you're still carnal. It's called the blame. See, a sign of blame is a fruit. It says you're out of position. You know, God deals with us as an individual. He allows things to happen in our life to expose us. See, but the problem is when you're bound by religion, pride, arrogance, and out of position, you blame everybody else for how you feel. That's a sure sign. It's a fruit. It's a fruit of carnality. Believe me, if you recorded everything that came out of your mouth, you'd check out to see what's up. Whoa. I can tell you it's being recorded. You may not keep track of it, but He is. And what you sow is what you reap. That's why some people never will advance. They never will advance. They'll stay in that same cycle. There'll be a set of limitations over their life that they can never, never break through. Because they're not willing to cooperate with the one who will break them through. They're still in the blame game, the woe is me game, the I game. It's called the I syndrome. Well, what about me? No, what about Him? See, when you gave your life to Christ, you died. You said, I don't have a life. The problem is people are still fighting for their lives when they're supposed to surrender it. Let me tell you something. There wouldn't be any arguments or any fresh or offenses if everyone would just deny themselves. Why do people want to defend themselves? Because they're still alive. They're now allowing God to defend them. And let me tell you, when you don't allow God to defend you, and you defend you, you lose. And you also lose the trust of God. One of the things that you should have a desire is wanting to earn God's trust. If you don't, you're out. You're out of court. You're L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth, lost. And there are people that have been lost for years and still come to church. They come to church, but they're still lost. It's incredible. Because the first thing they can't even discern is their own fruit. They can't discern their own signs. And if you can't discern your own, how can you discern the other signs? You can't. They'll come upon you like a thief in the night. And we are in a specific time and season right now where God is drawing His children, those who are willing to deny themselves. They are called river children. Why? Because they love the river. They live from the river of life. They drink of the river of life. They love to be saturated with His presence. They seek. They dive in. They stay saturated. Because they love His presence. And if you're not a lover of His presence, you won't have it. And one of the things the Holy Spirit says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What comes out of your mouth will grieve. He'll step right back. And let me tell you who will replace the Holy Spirit, a familiar spirit who will promote you. Oh, what about, how can this, oh, come on, tell them. Oh, come on. Familiar. He loves to imitate the Holy Spirit. But see, if you're dull, you won't discern. If you're not saturated, you won't discern. You won't even see the sign. You won't even know you're stepping on a mind that's about to explode. You won't even know it. You won't even know you're in the minefield, even though there's a big sign that says minefield.
Oh, God, how did I get in here?
And then the cycle starts all over again. Starts all over again. Starts with grumbling and complaining and blaming. You're already out. You've already drifted. It's just a matter of time. Unless there's repentance and turn back and get back in position. Why? Let me tell you something. This year is called the year of exposure. I talked some of this this last Sunday, but I really didn't teach on what I wanted to teach on. It's called the year of exposure. And I want to read you something from the prophetic word that was given to us in this house of 2015. In January of 2015, the prophetic word came forth. And the Lord gave me this message, because He gives me something every year in the beginning of the year. It kind of shares with what's going on that year. He said, my shaking will continue, my wrath held back, my judgment escalated. It'll be a year of contention and disruption, a time of peeling away the unseen wickedness. In other words, it will be the year of exposure. The restraints of evil will be stretched to breaking points in many areas. Deception will increase its devastating work in enormous leaps, in causing confusion, chaos, fear, hatred, and it will impose this to all of its carriers that are cooperating with darkness. The God of the worldly technology will increase its control to influence the agenda that causes man to lose godly purpose. One world purpose with a one world order will sway men of its reason. The enemy's pursuit to collapse the economy will gain influence with false stock numbers of hope to draw out the wealth of man into the hands of the wicked. Walls of division will increase, and the effects of events will draw many backsliders back into position. And I will increase my presence to my anointed ones. Those are thirsty and hungry. And I will turn upside down the attempts to harm my beloved. In other words, no weapon formed against you will prosper if you're in that position. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of my... No, nothing will touch you. I will show favor to my house, my land, and my people. And those who know me will excel. While I hold the key to wisdom, understanding, revelation, healing, prosperity, and wealth. Abundance will be my name to those who are mine, and I'll erase your burdens. I'll make ways of the impossible to only those that pursue me, and my harvest will double. I have released the sword of victory to my people. That was the word of the Lord for 2015. And we are seeing the peeling away. One of the things God is doing is exposing His own house, His church. Why? Judgment comes into the house of God first. Why? So that they escape the wrath of God that's coming. There are many who are ready to step right into enemies' territory and trap. They have no idea because they're not maintaining a humble spirit. They're full of pride and arrogance, and that will move them right out. Why? God rejects the what? Pride, and gives what? Grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. I'm going to say it again. Grace to the humble. If you can't seek the Lord with all of your heart, you have a problem. If you're not willing to submit to God to resist the devil, then it's impossible to resist the devil's ploy. You will be a puppet for him. He will use you as a welcome mat to hell. This is the year of exposure. It's been going on. It's been happening. Why? Because something is about to happen that is going to affect the globe. Is everybody okay? Something is about to happen. And you certainly don't want to be in position, out of position when it begins to happen. Hello. Would you turn to Mark 12? Mark chapter 12. Don't get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Why don't you guys come up here between them and help them? I got the blind leading the blind. Help them out. Go ahead. We've went through this already. Mark chapter 12. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 1, would you read it with me? Mark 12 and verse 1. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. In other words, it was a vineyard that was protected. Dug a place for the wine vat and built a what? He built a tower, didn't he? And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at vintage time, he set a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. Verse 5. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. In other words, he was sending the Lord. This is a parable, an association that God was sending prophets, and they kept destroying them. They wouldn't listen. Finally, God had to come himself as a son. In verse 7, and he expected them to respect his son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be what? Ours. Oh. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. I want to share with you something vitally important, because this scripture talks about the King of Glory sending his son. He calls him the chief cornerstone. In other words, the Messiah. And as being the chief cornerstone, only he could fulfill all things. Because a chief cornerstone is like a top that all things connect. And it attaches onto it. And when it connects everything. Almost like a pyramid that connects everything. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Is everybody with me? In this year of exposure, it talks about, because it's a year of exposing things, it's exposing wickedness and exposing man's heart, man's agenda. In comparison, whether we're on God's agenda or man's agenda. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1. Now remember that one of the things, if we're not acknowledging, recognizing our fruits and signs and the things that are going on. Because we look at these as, you know, if you're a, and I was explaining to someone, if you're a jet pilot in the military and you have to rely on your instruments, those are things that respond to what's going around or what's flying or in other words, if you're sent out on a mission to bomb a location and you're not following your instruments, it only takes, because it's going fast, it only takes one split of a second to lose sight of what your instruments say and you just drifted. Those are signs. Those are fruits. Those are things that we're to be examining ourselves. We're to keep our instruments clear. Why? For us to see. Only you can maintain your instrument panel. Only you. And if you're not maintaining your instrument panel, you will drift and go off course quick. You will miss your mission, and you'll have to recycle it all over again until you come back around. And one of the things that's happening right now, because it is the year of exposure, God is exposing so much in His body and exposing so much wickedness of what's going on. But people are ignorant of the times and seasons of what we're in. And if you're ignorant of your own instruments, that you can't determine them, you won't adjust to what's really happening. You just can't. It won't happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be what? Lovers of themselves." Believe me, a lover of themselves will take your eyes off your instruments. "They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, mudslingers, without self-control or control over self. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away and shut down." Turn away and shut down. Does everybody get it? You shut them down. "For these are a sort who they creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts or desires for worldliness. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Why? Because they're not paying attention to their instruments and they're always recycling. They never can break through to fulfill the mission. And they stay with limitations because their eyes are more on them than on the instruments. "Now as Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, the counsel, the correction, the direction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit." They resist all the time. They make decisions that are according to how they feel and what they believe and not truth. "They are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith." But they will progress what? No further. They can't. They can't go beyond that limitation. Never will, until they begin to keep their eyes on the instruments, which exposes everything. See, people are more willing to expose others but them, than themselves. And that's where the Lord says, listen, take the National Grand Forest out of your eye first before you take the trunk out of somebody else's, right? "But they will progress no further, for their folly will be" what? "Manifest." In other words, it will be exposed. It will be exposed. "Their folly will be manifested to" who? "All, as theirs also was." Wow. Why? Because they live in the kingdom of self. It's all about me. The kingdom of self. It's the I syndrome. Ignorant of the signs. And that is being exposed. Does everybody get this? They resist truth. They're corrupt-minded. Why? See, if you resist truth, if you resist counsel, if you resist correction, if you resist conviction of the Holy Spirit, then you're accepting something else. What you resist, you accept something else. Always. You're just not resisting something. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil. Amen? Why? Because if you resist the devil, what are you going to receive? Something from the Lord. Submit to God. If you're submitting to God, are you getting something from God? Yes, then you're able to what? Resist the devil. If you're not willing to do that, then you can't resist, and that limitation will stay there till you die. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. The word tells us that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. They're going to turn to false comfort. They will turn to false comfort and not truth. Truth will be offensive to them because of the spirits that are now in them. Spirit of rebellion hates truth. Why? Because it's associated with witchcraft. Light, truth, and life are one. I'm going to say that again. Light, truth, and life are one. They're one. So if you resist any one of those, you resist life. You resist Jesus, the life giver. And if you resist life, then you're accepting what? Death. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. In Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. It says, "And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." These are all believers. Why? Because they're called virgins. They were washed by the blood. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 stupid or foolish. Same thing. "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Whoa! They just weren't thirsty and hungry enough. They tried to go out with just the letter, but not backed by the anointing. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with them." They were worshipers. Oil comes by worship, not by standing there with your hands in your pocket, twiddling your tongues and looking around the room. You will get nothing. In verse 5, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' And all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise," "Hey man, look it, I'm not ready." I'm not ready. Why? "Oh man, I got some sin in my life. I got this. You know, I haven't been filled with it. I'm not ready. I've been touching unclean things." Why? Because the anointing hasn't been. See, because without the anointing, you're rejecting conviction. Hello? "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Pray for me.'" Too late. It's too late to pray for someone when it comes to that point. For our lamps are going out. Our lamps are going out. "But the wise answered and saying, 'No, sorry, pray for yourself, homie. Lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself.'" Why? It's called praying the price. Worshiping the price. That is the price. This is how you buy things. Worship and prayer. That's how you buy. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." See ya. "Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up, please.'" Knock, knock, knock. No answer. Jesus said, "Who's there?" "Who is it?" "But he answered and said, 'Surely I say to you, I don't know you.'" Who's outside knocking on my door? "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." They did not know the signs. They didn't even check their own signs. They didn't realize that they were running on empty. Does everybody get it? They didn't know. And that's what's happening now. God is trying to expose so his children don't run on empty. Because he's getting ready to come. Amen? Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Therefore, since we have this ministry," it's a ministry of the Spirit, "as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Verse 2. "But we have renounced the" what? "Hidden things of shame," not walking in craftiness, nor handling" what? "The word of God" what? "Deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But Even if our gospel is veil blinded, it is veiled. Now, the gospel is known as the message of truth. It is veiled to those who are what? Perishing, whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. Why? So they won't receive. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on them. Let me share with you again. You believe because you have a choice to believe. You have the power to choose. Amen? So if you have the power to choose, and you choose to believe, then you receive, don't you? And if you receive, then you what? Execute. If you don't believe, you won't execute. That's the difference of someone who believes and someone who doesn't. Does everybody get this? See, because if you execute, and you can't execute by reaction or reacting, you execute by responding. It's impossible to execute by reacting. Only by responding do you execute. Why? Because you respond to the truth, image, and character of Christ, or else you react according to your old man, and that is not executing. So the God of the age, who is known as Lucifer, Satan, the prince of power of error, he blinds individuals or tries to put the scales back on them, even when they've come off. He's always trying to blind you again. That's his job. So you might be walking, look at, once you begin to drift, you can be sure that scales are coming back on. And the scales are not only on your eyes, it's on your heart. See, one of the things God judges is the heart, doesn't he? So where there's blame, where there's offense, where there's bitterness, where there's anger, where there's frustration, where there's unforgiveness, where there's compromise, where there's complacency, you can be guaranteed there's a hardening of the heart and there's a scales that are being put back on again. Why? So you don't see your own instruments, your own signs, your own fruits. You're too busy looking at everyone else's. Does everybody get it? Why? Because the blame makes the excuse to take responsibility. Hello? Praise God. So the God of this age wants to blind you. He does not want to expose you. The God of this age doesn't want to expose you. Does everybody get it? Satan doesn't want to expose you. No way. He wants to keep you in the dark to use you. Didn't he do it before? Well, he's done it. He's still doing it. He doesn't change. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, he is. Amen. So don't look at your neighbor. He's speaking directly to you. Gosh, I wonder if it's you. I wonder if it's you.
Duh.
Oh, it's me. Sorry, Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, which is the body of Christ. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to who? The working of who? Satan, the ruler, the god of this world, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous, what? Deception. Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Wait a minute now. Hold on a second. Receive. So if they didn't receive the love of the truth, they didn't believe, did they? So they couldn't execute, could they? Again, if you're not executing, then you don't believe. And this is how God sees. And we got to begin to look how he sees, not how man sees. That they might be what? Saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You want to stay that way? Believe me, God will step back and he'll let that delusion just take you right out. He'll let the devil take. Didn't Paul turn someone over to Satan? Amen. That his soul might be saved. Do we have to eat dirt all over again to get right? How stupid can we be and still breathe? Hello? Oh, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Year of exposure. In verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Hello? So if you're prideful and God rejects the pride and gives grace to the humble, listen, grace is the plan of escape. You'd have to be plumb dumb not to want to escape. Amen? That means, but he gives grace to who? The humble. In other words, he gives a way of escape to the humble, not to the prideful. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor liars, manipulators, nor extortioners, revelers, will inherit the kingdom of God. Hello? No access. No access to the eternal port. And such were some of us, but we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of what? Any. See, people misuse grace. They misuse it. They think, oh, okay, no problem. I'll just get back ring. But they don't realize that they just open a door. But what they just did. Thought, word, deed, and agreed. I'm going to say it again. Thought, word, deed, or agreed. They opened the door. Is everybody all right? Why? Because it's the year of exposure. That means light. Light. Now, I want you to know that there's a false light and there's a true light. This is the battle right now this year. It is the battle over the false light and the true light. They're battling. Doesn't the Bible say even Satan comes as an angel of light and his ministers as righteous ministers? Look at how many people are deceived. Let me tell you, when everything starts to tear away, you're going to see people the way they really are. Some of them are not even humans. Ooh. In Luke 17, we are in the final stages. It's our responsibility to seek out matters and things that are going on. It's our responsibility to know the signs. But if we can't discern our own signs and our own fruit, there ain't no way we're going to find anything else out. Hallelujah. You know, it's like people going to ask God for a Mercedes when they don't even have the money to put the gas in. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, I need a Mercedes. He's like, man, you don't even have a job. You want me to bless you with a Mercedes? You don't even have money to put air in your bicycle tire. That's kind of like asking for something way out, man. Why don't you ask me for a job first? Hallelujah. In Luke 17, in verse 26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will also be in the days of the Son of Man. What were they doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married, they were marrying wives, and they were given in marriage. Hello, that wasn't wives. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, they'll also be the same as in the days of Lot, when they ate, they drank, they partied, they fornicated, they lied, they stole, they committed adultery, they homosexuality, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. That was a meteor shower. Why? Because it says it comes from somewhere. It came from where? Heaven. Didn't come from the ground. Didn't come out of the Dead Sea, where everybody talks about, oh, it must come out of the Dead Sea and flew all over there and didn't shower. No, it wasn't a volcano. It was a meteor shower that came from heaven, from above, and destroyed them all. So I want you to look at something very clearly. What we just heard is that the Lord is going to return as in the days of as it was of Noah and according to the days of Lot. And he did say that he would not destroy by water, did he? He said he'd destroy by what? Fire. So that means there's going to be meteor showers. There'll be hell of fire. Maybe even a meteor. Maybe an asteroid. Who knows? The Bible talks in the book of Revelation about stars falling. Let me tell you, when a meteor hits this place, it's more than nuclear bombs. So we've got to see the signs of what's coming. But there's something that God said. He said, my children are not accounted for the what? Wrath. He will come and get us. We will be protected. But if you're not in divine order, there is no protection. Amen? There's no protection. In Matthew 24. Hallelujah. We are seeing so many things occur right now. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming. What will be the sign of your what? Coming, and what will be the end of the age or the end of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. That no one deceives you with empty words, false prophecies. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that going on? Why? Because these are seals that have been broken already. These are the four horsemen seals that have been broken. The first four seals have been broke already. We're seeing the results of it now. I want you to know that all weather conditions in the last year have increased 200%. Weather conditions through the world and disasters have increased 200%. That means something's going on out beyond this earth and interrupting this earth. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, okay, we already know that we got, and many will come in his name, amen, and deceive many, false religions, false prophet, that's a horse. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, as another horse. See that you are not troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, ethnic, prejudice, and kingdom against kingdom, another horse. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. In other words, there'll be diseases. There'll be cosmic effects in various places. These are the four seals that have been broke already. And this is all called the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows is associated with the seals. And it says, then they would deliver you up to what? Tribulation. Those will be the trumpets. And then great tribulation will be the bowls. But every seal must be broke. And then, bam, in its time, the next one comes. In its time, the next one comes. But the seals first must be broke. That's why it's a year of exposure. This is a phenomenal year this year. We are seeing multiple, multiple things happen. Go to verse 33, or verse 32, I'm sorry. Verse 32. So we see what the beginning of sorrows, tribulation, and great tribulation. Three events that will come. He says in verse 32, now learn this parable from the what? Fig tree. The fig tree is associated with Israel. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. In other words, when Israel became a nation in 1948... So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, a generation is 70 years, will by no means pass away till all these things have taken place. In other words, Jesus will return in that generation. So if you take 1948 and add 70, you got 2018. If you don't get that sign, ask your neighbor to slap you. Hello. 70 years is a generation. 1948 and 70 is what? 2018. Hello. Something's happening. Something's going to happen. is 2015 is a year of light or the year of exposure. Now, let me explain to you again. This is very powerful because I want to talk to you about something, things that are getting ready to occur. We've got the Tetra with the Shemitah that's coming to the final full blood moon, which is September 28th. There's no other one for another 600 years. Hello. This is it. And it falls on a feast day. So we've got three feasts coming in September. We're getting ready to have the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So I want to share with you about the blood moon is falling on a feast. We have the Pope coming to speak to the United States. I wonder what he's got to say before he turns, before his tail comes up and his horns pop. We also had the Freedom Tower go up. And they crowned the top of the tower with an Islamic crown. It's called a minuet. There's something also getting ready to happen, which has not happened. At the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's going to be a jubilee, which means 70 years. Every 70 years is a 40. This was 40 years, actually. I'm sorry. This is going to be a year of jubilee, which will associate with its 70th year. Jubilee will fall on its 70th year at the end of Tabernacles. Now, this is pretty wild, all these things that are falling and happening. Again, it's called the year of exposure, the year of light. And I got to explain something to you. On a dollar bill, are you all with me? On a dollar bill, you see a pyramid, right? On the top of the dollar bill, there's an all-seeing eye. It's not attached to it, is it? Amen. Because they're waiting for it. See, this is not... It says, in God we trust, is not the God that you and I know of. It's called, actually, Lucifer. They called him Ra. They called him all kinds of names. But it's associated with the Antichrist. On the money on the top, it's got a saying that says, Anut Copetis, C-O-E-P-T-I-S. And it's actually 13 letters. 13 letters is associated with the Illuminati, 13 bloodlines of Lucifer, Satan's kingdom. And it actually means announcing the new beginning or announcing an arrival. And then underneath it's got Novus Ordo Secularum, which means, so you got announcing of the beginning or announcing of arrival, and underneath it, it means new secular or new world order. This is on our money. On the bottom. And if you were to crisscross this in a hexagon on the pyramid in the middle, it would spell Mason. Again, the eye is not attached because it is something that's about to happen. It's known as the eye of Osiris, Horus, Ra, Satan, whatever. There are also 13 steps on the pyramid. Again, associated with the 13 bloodlines of Satan's kingdom. It is a mystical number for Masons, Egyptians, Babylonians. They are the 13 satanic bloodline families. It's known as also the All-Seeing Eye. Their source of truth is always hidden in geometric symbolizations. They always do things in symbols. They also do things what we call a predicted programming. They do things upside down or do them in reverse. That's how they put out their symbols. Underneath, it's got Roman numerals. All of these Roman numerals are very interesting because it totals 1776. These are Roman numerals. It was the founding of the U.S., the United States independence, but it was also the founding of the Illuminati, or the Enlightened Ones. And one of the things that they always did, when they put that on there, they were predicting something would occur. So they add 4,000 years to it associated with creation. So the number would then be 5776. Is everybody with me? So what they were saying is the capstone of their Messiah would come in 5776. So we see the crowning of the serpent with the Freedom Tower. We see all of these things that are going on. 5776 in the modern Hebrew calendar is 2015. Are you with me? Hello? Now, if you were to go to pyramids, they're all over. They're in Macedonia, Nigeria, China, whatever, Egypt, Greece, Spain, Indonesia. There's pyramids all over. These pyramids were built by Nephilim, not by man. And in like the Great Pyramid in Egypt, there are symbols all in there through the chambers. It's got the queen's chambers, the king's. Everything is associated with geometric times and sequences. In fact, from the bottom foundation of the pyramid to the top of it measures 5,776 inches. Come on. Why? Because that is the year they're expecting their Messiah. It is called the year of light, which we call the year of exposure. All these things are being exposed. Is everybody okay? And this year also, so we see everything increasing 200%. Weathers, things, all kinds of things are going on. In the Grammys, not Granny's house, in the Grammys. The Grammy Awards celebrated the year of light. You must understand that Hollywood promotes all this. They know what's exactly going on. The Grammy Awards celebrated the year of light. They all were wearing Lucifer horns. And the whole thing was about a satanic ritual. Hallelujah. We are in the year of the 70th year for Jubilee, but it's also the 40th Jubilee since Jesus. 40 represents something very important. It represents something beginning new. Something coming to an end. Something beginning new. Has everybody got it? It's always a special event. So it is the 40th Jubilee since Jesus. Now, I got a question for you. Jesus was in a wilderness how many days? 40 days. Started something new, didn't it? How many days did it rain for the flood? 40 days. Amen. Jesus walked the earth 40 days after his resurrection before he left. Amen. Moses was with the Lord how many days? 40 days. Does everybody understand this? This is the 40th Jubilee. Things are definitely getting ready to happen, aren't they? Now, I want to go to some scripture because that is known as the cornerstone, isn't it, of the pyramid. Let's go to Psalm 118. Now, there was a pyramid, but it wasn't built like a pyramid. It was called the Tower of Babel. And the Lord came down and destroyed it. And Nimrod was the leader that built this Tower of Babel, but he was also a giant. And when Satan's, the seed of the serpent came in to the world, when the angels came in and they took women and produced offsprings, and that kept going on for 500 years. And the Lord came down and flooded the place and destroyed them all. Of course, we know that some of them made it through because one married Ham. Ham's wife was a hybrid, a Nephilim, an offspring. And from that point on, Ham's lineage, all the Hittites, Amorites, and so forth became giants. So what they were doing is they built a tower, but God destroyed it. And when they built the Freedom Tower, what was signed on the tower is, we will remember. We remember. Amen? We remember. Well, what the heck? Why would they put we remember? Because God destroyed them before, and they came back now. They're here. We remember. Why? The crowning of the tower was the crowning of the serpent, the one that they're waiting to come, the cornerstone to cap the pyramid, the false light. We remember. Obama writes on it. We remember. We will rebuild. We will be strong. WWW in Hebrew is 666. We. That ain't French. Hello. Psalm 118, verse 19. Oh, glory. Now, you got to grab hold of this, okay? It says, he says, open to me the gates of righteousness. The word gates here is dimensional ports. What he's asking is, Lord, open me a dimensional port to access you. It's a gate, a port of righteousness. And what does he say? I will go through them. Open that gate, Lord. See, they knew about these things. Why? Because before that, you know, even when the angel came to Lot, when the angels were outside the gates, Lot saw them. He knew them. They looked like men, but there was a different countenance on them. Why? Because angels were used to come and go to them. They used to visit those that were of the seed of the Lord. Does everybody get it? There was a common thing. Why? Because they didn't all have a... You couldn't speak directly to God and hear him. It wasn't that way then. But Jesus came and opened up the dimensional port to where you and I can communicate with God and hear him now. But prior to that, it wasn't like that. An angel had come to a prophet and speak to him by the Holy Spirit. But angels visited the seed of Christ, seed of God. Does everybody understand that? So it was common to them. Open the gate, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall what? Enter. That's what Jesus did for me and you. That is a dimensional port that gets us, me and you, home. That's what the whole tabernacle was. It was an imagery of a dimensional port to get you home. You had to enter through the outer court, holy court, the most holy place, and go home. Now look at this. Are you ready? He says, verse 21, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my what? Salvation. Now look at the next verse. The stone which the what? Wait a minute. Who are the builders? The Nephilims. The stone which the builders what? Rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now listen, I want you to see the connection between the dimensional gate and the pyramid. Because that's what they're used for. They use these to try to open up dimensional ports to access. And that's what they're expecting, in a dimensional arena to open up and Lucifer to take his rightful place. And it's very possible be this year. Is everybody okay? The builders rejected. The builders were the same as Nimrod, the offsprings, seed of the serpent. In Ephesians chapter 2. Told you we're training, right? What do you think they're trying to do with the CERN operation? They're trying to open up a dimensional port. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, glory. Verse 19. Would you read it with me, please? Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. On our $100 bill, there's something vitally important on the $100 bill. Of course, it talks about a nuclear hit. It talks about a tidal wave that's going to wipe out New York. Now, a nuclear hit can be a meteor. It can be anything. It can be a rocket. It also has something on it. It's got a three-dimensional, if you move it, it's got the Liberty Bell. Where is the Liberty Bell? Philadelphia. Guess where the Pope's going? Philadelphia. Hello? Now, on May 13th, 2014, the Prime Minister of France, the French Prime Minister, he was speaking to the UN. And he was speaking, he kept saying, we have 500 days left. We have 500 days left till a climatic chaos event happens. He said 500, he kept saying it over and over, we only have 500 days left till this event happens, this climatic event happens. I don't know what it is. I didn't add it up. I left it up to you guys. I can tell you things are happening. It is like Sodom and Gomorrah. We've talked about that already. But Jesus said he'll come and get us. But let me tell you, if you're not in position, you'll be left. You need to get your heart right. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 2. Bill Secute. Let me tell you what, the banks are gearing up for a collapse. They know. They're gearing up for the collapse. It's got to come. It's got to come. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everyone there? Praise God. Start at verse something. Verse 1. Therefore what? Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. If you want to catch the bus out. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a what? Living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones as being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who what? Believe, that means you receive and you what? Execute. He's precious. But those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of what? Stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, had not obtained mercy, but what? Now have obtained mercy. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to close at 2 Timothy 2. I got a lot of stuff here, but we ain't got all night. Better go home and eat popcorn, right? Is everybody okay? Yes. Now, there are things I haven't shared yet, and hopefully we'll get it all together and we'll put some other stuff. But you'll need to bring a seatbelt. Remember, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. We're not accounted for the wrath. We need to learn to express it. What we learned, we get on the housetops and tell. 2 Timothy 2:20. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together, please. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself. In other words, make sure you get some Windex and wipe off the monitors. Amen? Wipe off those instruments. Holy Ghost oil. Fill it with oil. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a what? Vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call out of the Lord out of a what? A pure heart, man. Associations bring impartations. You don't want to associate with someone that ain't in divine order. You have to be plumb dumb. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not what? Quarrel, but be what? Gentle to all, able to what? Teach. Able to teach. Patient, that means endurance. In what? Humility. Oh, snap. In what? Humility. Why? So you can receive grace, the plan of escape. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, get convicted, turn, and that they may come to their what? Senses and do what? Escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Listen, if you're not cleaning those instruments and watching them, you're going to get taken captive. Why? Because you're going to crash the plane. You'll have to parachute and you're going to land right in the enemy's camp. or you may run out of fuel. Amen? This is a critical time. So on 1 Peter chapter 5, it states, be alert, be consistent, because the enemy's trying to deceive you, get you out of position. Don't touch what is unclean. Come out from among them. Come out of Babylon. Get closer to the Lord. Know His voice, His unction. Know His conviction. Know His chastening. And know His leading. We are living in a credible time. We don't have to know everything. We already know. We won. That's the end result. Amen. Stop building your house. Let the Lord build your house. Why? Because you're going to use His tools, not your own. Amen. Be ready in season and out. Seek Him with all your heart. Give everything to Him. Go after Him with all you got. Because when you give Him all, He'll give you all. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. I'm asking, Lord, that the seed be protected by the blood of Christ. And that You would allow it to grow and give us revelation. Lord, help us to clean our own instruments. See our own fruits. Continue a self-examination and expose ourselves so You don't have to expose us. And prepare us, Lord. Prepare us for what's coming. And keep this house in unity as we are prepared and get prepared for what You have for us here. Now let Your blessing be upon Your people. Let Your healing continue to manifest. And let Your glory be known in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.